Did you practice 16 or 17 for saying the verse? Any of the teachers, can they say?
We didn't practice.
Okay, so today we're going to be reading from Third Canto, Chapter 3. We're going to do verse 16 and 17. So let's read 16, we can just read it together, and then we'll do responsively 17. So, Evam Sanchincha Bhagavan Swaraje Stapya Dharmajam Nandayam Asa Surida Sahunam Bhatamadarshayam. Lord Sri Krishna, thus thinking to himself, established Maharaj Yudhisthira in the position of supreme control of the world in order to show the ideal administration on the path of piety. Please repeat, Lord Sri Krishna, thus thinking to himself, established Maharaj Yudhisthira in position of supreme control of the world in order to show the ideal of administration on the path of piety. Okay, we'll do 17 together then. Uttarayam Trihapurur Vamsa Sarva Bhimanyuna Sarva Dronyastra Samputa Puna Bhagavata Drita Uttarayam Drita Puror Vamsa Sarva Bhimanyuna Savai Janyastra Samplushta Puna Bhagavata Drita. Okay, you guys are good. You want to take a turn? Say the verse. Uttarayam Drita Pura Vamsa Sarva Bhimanyuna Puna Bhagavata Drita. Students? Uttarayam Drita Puro Vamsa Sarva Bhimanyuna Savayam yastu sampushta Puna Bhagavata Drita Uttarayam Drita Puro Vamsa Sarva Bhimanyuna Savayam yastu sampushta Puna Bhagavata Drita. Okay, word for word. So, Uttarayam, unto Uttara. Drita, conceived. Puro, apuru. Vamsha, descendant. Sadhu Abhimanyuna, by the hero Abhimanyu. Sa, he. By? Certainly. Drowny Astra? By the weapon of Drowny, the son of Drona. Samplushta? Being burnt. Puna? Again, for the second time. Bhagavata? By the personality of Godhead. Drita? Was protected. Translation, the embryo of Puru's descendant begotten by the great hero Abhimanyu in the womb of Uttara, his wife, was burnt by the weapon of the son of Drona, but later he was again protected by the Lord. Please repeat, the embryo of Puru's descendant begotten by the great hero Abhimanyu in the womb of Uttara, his wife, was burnt by the weapon of the son of Drona. But later he was again protected by the Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The embryonic body of Prickett, which was in formation after Uttara's pregnancy by Abhimanyu, the great hero, was burned by the Ramastra of Ashwatthama, but a second body was given by the Lord within the womb, and thus the descendant of Puru was saved. This incident is a direct proof that the body and the living entity, the spiritual spark, are different. When the living entity takes shelter in the womb of a woman through the injection of the semen of a man, there is an emulsification of the man's and woman's discharges, and thus a body is formed the size of a pea, gradually developing into a complete body. But if the developing embryo is destroyed in some way or other, the living entity has to take shelter in another body or in the womb of another woman. The particular living entity who was selected to be the descendant of Maharishi Puru or the Pandavas was not an ordinary living entity, and by the superior will of the Lord, he was destined to be successor in Maharishi Yudhisthira. Therefore, when Ashwatthama destroyed the embryo of Maharishi Prickett, the Lord, by his own internal potency, entered into the womb of Uttara by his plenary portion, just to give audience to the would-be Maharishi Prickett, who was in great danger. By his appearance within the womb, the Lord encouraged the child and gave him complete protection in a new body by his omnipotency. By the power of omnipresent, he was present both inside and outside Uttara and other members of the Pandava family. Mangana Tamarandasya Guna Guna Sokaya Chakshur Anmilitam Yena Tajmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, we're hearing about Yudhisthira being put in charge of the world, you know, a very important position, administration. What do we know about Yudhisthira? Just some pre-knowledge here. Does anybody know anything about King Yudhisthira? Yes. Okay, so he was a king, right? We know that. Anything else? Yes. Right, he was one of the five Pandavas. He was from a very special family because that family was related to Krishna. So that was very special, yes. He was the oldest out of all. Yes, that's also something very significant. Anything else about King Yudhisthira? Somebody want to mention? Yes.
He was an expert in the, like, art of spear fighting, and he was a righteous king.
And he was a what?
Righteous king.
A righteous king, yes, that's right. In fact, one of the names for King Yudhisthira was Ajatashatru, and that means his enemy was never born. So King Yudhisthira didn't have one enemy, even with the Kauravas, and even though they were fighting, actually Duryodhana and the others, they had such great respect for King Yudhisthira because he was such a pious person. He was so devoid of sinful activity. And it explains when there's a king like that, when he's so pious and he's so righteous, the whole world benefits. Now, thing is, King Yudhisthira, he was very upset after the war. Does anybody know why King Yudhisthira was very upset? Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, like, dead people.
Right. So many people had died. And here he is. His enemy's never born. But he feels really bad about the praja. And praja means living entities. And so he felt really bad about all the soldiers that had died. And he also felt very bad about the horses and elephants that also had perished in this great battle. Felt so bad that he was almost inconsolable. It means no one could really say, oh, it's okay, you just don't worry about it. So he went to Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows. You can remember that part of the battle, and he was consulting with them and explaining how badly he felt about the whole thing, and he felt guilty. He felt like it was his fault, and there's nothing worse than that, right? Like, if we've done something wrong, we've said the wrong thing and we've done the wrong thing, then we feel terrible, because it explains that Krishna is within and without. He's within as the super soul. The super soul is always there, and he's telling us if we're doing something wrong. And he's also without in the form of the spiritual master. So King Yudhisthira went to Bhishma Dev, and he was explaining how he felt. But Bhishma Dev explained that there's three things you have to look at when you're making a decision. One is, are you following religious principles? Was King Yudhisthira following religious principles? Yes, he was. Was he devoted to Krishna? 100%. Did he consult with other Brahmanas and Vaishnavas? Yes, he did. So for that reason, Bhishma explained that he didn't have to, he could feel it was part of Krishna's plan. This was Krishna's plan. After all, what happened to all the soldiers in the battlefield? They died, but what else? They were liberated. They went back to Godhead. So that's not so sad, right? That's pretty, like, it's actually considered pretty amazing. Of course, Abhimanyu, who we just read about, that was a little bit of a different story, you know. Abhimanyu, when he was in the womb of his mother, Uttara, Uttara was his wife, so, but when he was in the womb, Abhimanyu, he was listening to a conversation where they're talking about what's the name of the formation? The Chakravyuha. There's different formations in military battle, and this formation was called chakra, right? And what is a chakra? It's a weapon, right, that you throw, and it spins around and around. So he heard the whole thing in the womb, but he remembered it. So when the battle was raging, it was a big problem. And they Corps of Army formed this Chakravyuha. So when you get it, you can get in there, but it's very difficult to get out. So Abhimanyu, even though he was only 16 years old, that's not very old, right? Some of you are probably getting close to that age. And he volunteered to go into that formation. So what's dangerous about that is that it's hard to get out, but there was three devotees, warriors, who planned on going in right after him, and they would be able to save him. But what happened when Abhimanyu got in? They closed it right away, and no one could get in. But Abhimanyu was fighting so fiercely, he was killing all kinds of the Kaurava of an army, and they were like really concerned, like what's going on here? They thought they had the upper hand, but actually Abhimanyu, again, very righteous devotee, he had the power of Krishna behind him, so he was getting the upper hand. So, anybody know what happened? Yes. But how did that happen? Anybody know how that happened? That's right. They went against the warrior code. They went behind him. They kind of surrounded him, and yeah, they broke his bow, they ruined his chariot, the whole thing. So it was a very ungodly, unholy thing to do. And of course, when Abhimanyu's father, Arjuna, found out about it, he was furious, and he fought the next day like he'd never fought. So it was unfortunate, but Abhimanyu, just again, showing that bravery, showing that determination, showing that dependence on Krishna. So Krishna actually, before he left, he went and he consoled Abhimanyu's wife, Uttara, who in her womb was Maharaj Parikshit. And Maharaj Parikshit, of course, he was, you know, Ashwatthama, he was still trying to kill everybody, so he threw the weapon, and it actually killed Maharaj Parikshit in the womb. But what happened? What did Krishna do? Yes. Right. He put him in another body, didn't he? He put him in another body. Yes. Do we get to say something? Okay. All right. He put him in another body. So explains too that Krishna, when he was leaving, that Maharaj Yudhisthira went to embrace him, and Krishna bowed down, because in Vedic culture, always that policy, that etiquette, you know, was there. So, and Krishna appreciated that. He appreciated that Yudhisthira was older than him, and so he gave Yudhisthira that respect. Arjuna and Bhima, they embraced Krishna as a friend, and Sakul and Sahadev, they bowed down. So following this etiquette, this Vedic etiquette, is very, very important. You know, King Yudhisthira, he was so wise that once he was sitting He was sitting on his throne. And he used to sit there during the morning, and anybody who had a question could come up to him and ask a question, any problem. So, and Bhima would stay outside, kind of monitoring the people that came in. So, as he was standing there, one came up and said, "Oh, I've got a big problem." He goes, "Okay, well, what is it?" He said, "Well, you know, I have a garden, and there's a wall there, but every day the wall keeps on encroaching on my garden. So my garden's getting smaller and smaller. I'm like, what should I do?" And Bhima's like, "What? I have no idea what to do. You have to go see Maharaj Yudhisthira." And then another man came up and he goes, "Wow, you know, I have a big problem." He goes, "Well, what is it?" He goes, "My problem is that I had a bucket of water, and I took the bucket of water and I poured it into 5 cups. But when I took the cups and poured the water back into the bucket, there was less water. Why did that happen?" Bhima's like, "I have no idea. You'll have to go ask Maharaj Yudhisthira." So then another man came and he said, "I've got a big problem. You know, I have an elephant, and I took the elephant through the big hole, but when he was going through, his tail got stuck." Now, does that make any sense? No, it doesn't. So Bhima, he's completely puzzled. He goes, "I don't know. You're going to have to ask Maharaj Yudhisthira." And then one more man came, and he said, "I don't understand this. It was a big mountain of rocks, you know, and soil, and there was a little vine inside of it. And when I went to pull out the vine, the whole mountain collapsed. Like, why would that happen?" And guess what Bhima said? "I don't know. Go ask Maharaj Yudhisthira." So they all went in there, and Bhima's waiting for the men to come out and find out what the solution is, but no one's coming out. So he goes in, and he says to Maharaj Yudhisthira, "Well, what happened with the 4 men? What was the solution to the problem?" And Maharaj Yudhisthira said, "Well, what men? What are you talking about? Nobody's come in here. I've been sitting here by myself all morning long." And so Bhima told him, "Well, you know, first there was a problem with the man with the garden." And King Yudha sat up and said, "Really?" He said, "Tell me more." He said, "Well, then a man came and was talking about taking the water from the bucket and putting it into the cups. And then when he poured it back, it was less water." Marshu sat up even taller. He's like, "What? What else?" He said, "Well, then," he said, "another man came and said there was a big elephant and he was going through the hole. And the elephant went through but got stuck with the tail." Like, Marshu said, "What else?" And he said, told the story of the mountain or the rocks. Pulled the vine out, the whole thing collapsed. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, "Immediately go arrest those men, right away, find them and arrest them. This is the age of Dwarpa, they're from Kali Yuga, quick, arrest them, put them away." And then he explained what each thing meant. The first problem with the wall getting smaller, he said, is in Kali Yuga, the government, they're thieves, okay? They make life more difficult for the people. That's what that meant. And the second one, with the water, he said, it meant that, you know, in Kali Yuga, the parents put so much energy into the children. You may see that. Your mom and dad, your dad works hard. Your mom's cooking, cleaning, doing the laundry. So the parents work so hard to bring their children up. But in Kali Yuga, unfortunately, many of the times when they grow up, they don't care about their parents. And that's not part of the etiquette, right? Part of the etiquette is the parents and the older people deserve so much respect, they can actually bestow blessings upon them. People are always trying to get rich and be happy. But if you don't follow etiquette, you can actually get more wealth from proper behavior than you can from trying to employ fruit of activity. So that's what that meant. And the elephant going through the hole, but then getting his tail getting stuck, that also meant that in Kali Yuga, there's so many cheaters, there's so many people that get away with literally murder and everything else, so many crimes. But the little guy who does a little crime, he doesn't get away with it. He gets caught, he gets put in jail. And the big headlines is, oh, you know, so-and-so caught in big scandal, big fraud. But the big people in Kali Yuga, they get away with everything. And then Maharishi kind of smiled and goes, the fourth one, he said, it's about Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is a big mountain of faults, right? There are so many faults, but the vine coming out that destroyed the whole mountain, that is the chanting of the holy name. So the chanting of the holy name can destroy the whole ocean of faults. So everything that's wrong in our society, in our own lives, can be saved by the chanting of the holy name and by performing devotional service. So, you know, there's so many difficulties in life, and sometimes we don't understand how these difficulties come about. There's a little story about a farmer. And this farmer, he had a horse that he really loved the horse because the horse helped to plow the ground to, you know, make their crops and also gave him transportation to getting into town. But somewhere or other, the horse ran away. So the village people were like, I'm so sorry that your horse ran away. And the farmer said, maybe, maybe not. So a few days later, the horse came back and he had three wild horses with him. And so the people were like, wow, look at that. Lucky you. Now you have four horses. You know, that's great fortune on your part. And the farmer said, maybe, maybe not. So what happened is his son was trying to tame one of the horses, and the horse threw him, and he broke his leg. So the villagers were like, oh, gosh, sorry, that's sad. Your son broke his leg. And what did the farmer say? Maybe. Maybe not. So there was a big army coming through town. There was a war, and they were recruiting all the young men to go into the army. And he couldn't go. The son couldn't go because he broke his leg. So the people are like, "Wow, you're lucky that happened. You know, now your son didn't have to go to war." But the farmer said, "Maybe, maybe not." So maybe when we think about things that happened, even in the scriptures, like with Narada, right? Narada's mother died, but what did Narada do? What did Narada do? Yes. He took shelter of Krishna, didn't he? He just started praying to Krishna, performing austerities, that's right. And so it was a kind of thing that it made life better for him. Actually, yes?
He got away with it because he knew it was material.
Yeah, I mean, he took spiritual shelter, didn't he? That's what he did. And even Dhruva, the story of Dhruva with the stepmother and how she wouldn't let him go in his father's lap and all that. What did Dhruva do when that happened? Did he go, that's not fair. No, she's being nice to my stepbrother, but he's not being nice to me. You know, that's not fair. God's not fair. This is wrong. What did Dhruva do? What did Dhruva do? Yeah.
Meditate?
He did meditate. Yeah. He went to his mother. He was crying. That was good. First went to his mother. He was crying, and his mother said, you know, everything in life isn't fair. But what you should do is take shelter of the Supreme Person of God. And so even when things in our lives may seem not right, they're not fair, sometimes it's an impetus for us to take shelter of Krishna. And it can't be underestimated the potency of having a ruler that's God-conscious. Like King Yudhisthira said, not only was he Ajatashatru, not only was his enemy never born, but because he was so connected with God, it said he was also so connected with nature that there was never extreme heat, there was never extreme cold, there wasn't mental agony. How many people sometimes have a trouble with their mind bothering them? You know, okay, there's not everybody, but quite a few of you have that problem. So, but there wasn't like that. Because people had so much faith in King Yudhisthira, because King Yudhisthira had so much faith in Krishna that he inspired them to take shelter of Krishna. So when that happens, you know, when the population also take shelter of Krishna, it's almost like the spiritual world on this planet. In other words, the rivers, the hills, you know, the forests, everything gives. Everything gives in plenty. You know, there's just plenty for everybody. So that is the result of having a pious king. And there's many stories of pious kings in the scriptures and how they benefited the entire world. So, okay, I'll read a little section that I saved about the result of a pious king. So let me just read a little section here. It is said here that the cows used to moisten the pasturing land with milk because their milk bags were fatty and the animals were joyful. Do they not require, therefore, proper protection for a joyful life by being fed with a sufficient quantity of grass in the field? So people are killing the animals, and that's only caused to eat. And it's so unnecessary. They don't need to eat flesh. They don't need to eat fish. They get, you know, there's plenty of milk products and vegetables and fruits for people to eat. Why should men kill cows for their selfish purpose? Why should man not be satisfied with grains and fruits and milk, which combined together can produce hundreds and thousands of yummy dishes? Why are there slaughterhouses all over the world to kill innocent animals? You know, they wanted to have a slaughterhouse very, very close. Did you know that? Yeah, it was so disturbing. It was not many miles away from here. But there was a vote, and they voted it down. They didn't want to have it here. So I really see that as the mercy of Krishna and the work that the devotees have done in just purifying the atmosphere, that didn't happen, because that's really unfortunate. Maharaj Parikshit, grandson of Maharaj Yudhisthira, while touring his vast kingdom, he saw a man trying to kill a cow. And what did he do when Maharaj Parikshit? He saw someone trying to torture a cow. What did Maharaj Parikshit do? Anybody know? He immediately stopped it. One cow. He saw them being unkind to him. Right away, he stopped that. What to speak of slaughterhouses? The king at once arrested the butcher and chastised him sufficiently. Should not a king or executive head protect the lives of the poor animals who are unable to defend themselves? Is this humanity? Are not the animals of a country citizens also? So that's the whole point that's being made here. Vidyavinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavihasini Shuni Chaiva Svapakecha Pandita Sambadarshina. That the sage sees everyone as equal. The elephant, the cow, the dog eater, and the Brahman. He sees everyone. So when you see the world that way, when you see the equality of all living beings and all animals, and you don't see it as black or white or Palestinian or Israeli or, you know, Sudanese, you see everyone. As devotees are friends with everyone, right? The devotees can be friends of everyone. In fact, the peace formula, Prabhupada gave the peace formula, Bhaktaram Yagda Tapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Sirhidam Sarvabhutanam, Yantamam Shantam Richtati. It says, anyone who stands, the sages who understand that Krishna is the ruler of all planets and demigods, and he's a result of all sacrifices and austerities, and he's the best friend of all living entities, they are relieved from the pangs of material existence. So, and as you grow up, you know, as we go through our life, and the force, the influence of time in everybody's life, nobody's life is going to be perfect. Not one person's life is going to be perfect. Why is that? Why is that? Yes. It's Kali Yuga. Yes.
And only Krishna's all perfect.
And sometimes we're talking about, like, things happen to make our love for Krishna grow, just like Narada and Yudhisthira, And even Prahlad, yes.
Like canon events.
What?
Canon events.
Canon events. Okay, I like that. Never heard that before. Canon events. It's true, right? That they make you take a stand, right? They help to make us take shelter of Krishna. So when things happen, if we're able to take shelter of Krishna, then our love for Krishna grows. If we don't do that, then it's kind of we're kind of in an ocean of sorrow. And Krishna is able to pick us up from that ocean of sorrow, release us from those problems.
Well, that one part, the Namarasakam, we are drowned in an ocean of sorrow.
That's right.
Please shower her in mercy and humble on you.
What's he saying?
He's saying the verse from the Damodar prayer.
Is there
a microphone you can give him real quick and you can just... You gotta go. Okay. Anyway, the verse... Oh, go ahead, just repeat that.
I'm drowning in an ocean of sorrow and I'm almost like a dead man. Please shower your rain of mercy upon me. Uplift me and protect me with your next ray of vision. I just remembered that and I was like, oh.
Yeah, there you go, right? So we're so lucky because our whole lives are filled with prayer, right? They're filled with prayer. They're filled with devotional service. We can become like Maharaj Yudhisthira in the sense that, you know, we can follow his example. And kings like Ranti Dev or King Prithu or King Yudhisthira or King Pariket, they can help us to be our best selves. All right, thank you for coming. Hare Krishna. Thank you for sharing. So just thinking of, you know, that pious, very perfect kind of government, and then the government that we have presently, you know, and even presently how there's so much conflict between, you know, okay, Biden's the best or Trump's the best one, and those are our choices, you know, such terrible, you know, here, Marge Pickett was saved because Krishna entered the womb and gave Marge Pickett another body, but every day there's hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of abortions every day. And what that's doing to our, what's that doing to our planet? You know, what's that doing to people's souls? Because, you know, Prabhupada said that someone who commits an abortion, they have to be born again, you know, so many times and disposed of in the same way. So the real only hope is for devotees that can give people these options, because otherwise what options are there for people? You know, there's definitely religion opposed to abortion, which is good, but you know, just being able to be absorbed in devotional service, you know, and in pure love of God brings people to a platform of not just don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, but all the things that we can do to uplift ourselves and to uplift other people. So please, some comment, some discussion, some addition. Yes, Prangovinda.
I was thinking that we emphasize Yudhisthira Maharaj as Ajatashatru, knowing that he's sending his brother Bhima and Jarasandha will be killed. How to understand from material level that he is Ajatashatru, he has no enemy, but he's sending four brothers in four directions and Bhima definitely going to kill Jarasandha, he knows. So how to say he has no enemy or how to see properly?
Well, I think getting back again to the advice that Bhishma Dev gave to King Yudhisthira. In other words, being in touch with Krishna, being in touch with the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, and following religious principles. If all those things are aligned, then we, even though something seems irreligious, we can consider it part of Krishna's plan, because that was the problem that King Yudhisthira was having, feeling such remorse and guilt for what had been done. But it was explained that that was Krishna's plan. Does that make sense? Pushkar?
Probably used to quote this verse in English, means that anything done, if it's for Krishna, it becomes pious, pure. What's the last line?
Yeah, good point, because there's a story of Yudhisthira, how when they asked him to say, you know, Ashwatthama's been killed just to, like, you know, disturb the other parties, because he never told a lie, and they say that, well, that's why King Yudhisthira never touched his feet never touched the ground, because he never told a lie. But actually, our understanding is that because when he said it, this is how he said it. King Yudhisthira said, Ashwatthama, the elephant, has been killed. He didn't really want to tell a lie. So because he didn't have complete faith in following that instruction, that's when his feet touched the ground. So thank you for that quote and that vision, that anything done for Krishna. Of course, you know, ourselves, we have to make sure we're inquiring from the higher authorities, from the Brahmanas, from the Vaishnavas, before we take any kind of serious action like that. But it's very enlivening. Did you have something? Sue Devi. Isn't it fascinating how those four things that you mentioned that were like foretelling the degradation in Kali Yuga, isn't it fascinating how specific that was?
It is. It's amazing. It's kind of like astounding.
What is the source of that?
I took it from a lecture by Dear Shanta Maharaj. I've heard it before. Pushkar, do you know where it comes from?
So this is from Mahabharata. This four?
From Mahabharata.
Four personalities.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a great story.
You would just think it's degradation is happening, and it's sort of random, maybe, but it was, you know, those things that are happening, but it's very, it was foretold like 5,000 years ago, and it's very specific.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the whole thing about the government, you know, I know for myself, it makes me want to kind of, you know, more withdraw from, because Prabhupada said devotees don't get involved in politics, because it's kind of like a tar baby, you know, wherever you hit it. Not meaning that people shouldn't vote or people shouldn't, you know, make the best choice, but to get too involved in it causes a lot of discord amongst devotees, from what I've seen. All right. Anybody else have a comment? Okay.
Thank you for such a nice class, Mother Sukada. I just...
Talk closer to the mic. Yeah.
I can't. I'm going to have an anxiety. I just wanted to share a comment that maybe you could, like, say something a little bit about that would be helpful for me. You know, I'm so grateful that you mentioned about abortion. You know, abortion has always been like a hot topic, especially this past year with all the politics and stuff. And,
yes.
It's kind of got a little bit overwhelming for me amongst my friends, my devotee friends, like, because, you know, it's like, okay, are we like following Srila Prabhupada here, or are we following like politics? And it's sometimes it feels like if you're like following Srila Prabhupada's instructions that you're like outnumbered or like outdated or you're like going backwards. And it's like, but you know in your heart that you're not, you are doing the right thing by following Srila Prabhupada's instructions and reminding others of Srila Prabhupada's instructions and Srila Prabhupada's statements on strong topics like this. But then sometimes I start feeling like I'm like outnumbered here, like
really,
like my devotee friends, and it's like
I mean, I think, yeah, the problem is like women's rights in general, and then there's the abortion issue. So, you know, women want equality in so many ways, right? And according to Vijvanaya Sampane, you know, but in that case, Prabhupada made it clear, and we should understand. I mean, here's the example right here with Maharaj Parikshit. So I think that you might be shy, but you're strong. You're a strong devotee. So don't be afraid to speak up and say, but Prabhupada said that abortion is wrong and that people who perform it, that he actually said they won't see the light of day for many, many, many births. So that's unfortunate. You know, that's unfortunate. And if we have to remind each other of those things and not get caught up in the modern government, modern politics, then you can do that. You've got that power. Okay. Anybody else?
Not all government are bad. You know, in New York, right now, the mayor is so favorable.
I saw that.
In a big festival like this, Skimahar Street, where our temple is, we don't have any parking place. It's like a 5-star hotel all around. But this mayor is so nice to devotees, and Hansa Rupa Prabhu keeps a good contact. He literally gives 10 blocks reserved for Hare Krishna. 10 blocks.
What do you mean?
For festival days.
Oh, for festival days.
Everybody
people
can park. It's Hare Krishna's parking lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard him say...
Government is good.
I heard him say that, you know, we need more examples like Sita and Ram, and you know, it was so nice to hear him saying this. So there are, you know, government officials who are very favorable to Krishna consciousness. So we have to fan the sparks, and we have to speak up when something's not right, you know? Anyway, thank you for listening. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare